President Sister Benson, I hope you can feel the love and the spirit that generate from these women assembled throughout the church at this general women's meeting. And to President Hinckley, President Monson, and your companions, may you know of our love and gratitude for you as well, and the marvelous feeling of support that we feel as you all are participating in this general women's conference tonight. I'm pleased on behalf of the brethren to extend their love and greetings to each of you. I deeply appreciate the invocation and the messages delivered by the General Presidency of the Relief Society and of this wonderful women's chorus. Sister Doxy has recounted the privilege that each of us has to strengthen the family, the basic unit of the church and the fundamental component of society. The family is provided in God's plan to nurture His children and prepare them to return to Him as families. Sister Evans has helped us to understand that the human race doesn't run on a smooth track. The route more closely resembles an obstacle course with hurdles and puddles and snares lurking around every turn we make. Life isn't meant to be easy. The race isn't to be won by the swift or the flashy. Victory comes only to those who muster the faith to stay on the track, the straight and the narrow way. Sister Winder has put our purpose in perspective. She's taught us an eternal truth: men are that they might have joy. And she has emphasized one of the means by which true joy is realized in rendering selfless service of worth to others. Now, as the male participant tonight, I bear a great responsibility to convey deep feelings of gratitude. For the men of the church, I say thank you. Not only do I express our gratitude, but our affection as well. Represented in this vast audience are our dear companions, our mothers, our sisters, daughters, and granddaughters. We respect and honor you. We support your wonderful efforts. We're grateful to receive the benefit of your counsel and insights in challenges we share as partners. And we thank you as mothers, or potential mothers, for your partnership with God in providing life. Without women, the whole purpose of creation of this world would be in vain. This truth we learned about scriptures that pertain to the priesthood, the creation, Adam and Eve. Before the world was formed, the Lord Jesus Christ was Jehovah, the great I Am, the beginning and the end, who looked upon the wide expanse of eternity and all the seraphic hosts of heaven. And he told Abraham, having first shown him the intelligences that were organized before the world was, that among all these there were many of the noble and great ones, and God saw these souls that they were good. And he stood in the midst of them, and he said, "These I will make my rulers." The Lord then revealed that Abraham was one of them, chosen and foreordained before he was born. Scriptural verse then continues, "There stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, 'We will go down, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell.'" Then the gods organized and formed the heavens and the earth. You'll recall that after the earth had been created, divided, beautified, and inhabited with plant and animal life, the crowning achievement of the creation was to be man, the human being. So the gods went down to organize man in their own image, male and female, to form they them. The very purpose of creation was to provide bodies to enable mortal life and experiences for these eagerly awaiting spirits. Question: what was the role of the priesthood in the process of creation? The prophet Joseph Smith taught, "The priesthood is an everlasting principle and existed with God from eternity. Christ is the great high priest, Adam next." So the priesthood was first given to Adam. He obtained the first presidency and held the keys of it in the creation before the world was formed. President Brigham Young said, "Priesthood is the law by which the worlds are, were, and will continue forever and ever." Thus, priesthood is the power of God. Its ordinances and covenants are to bless men and women alike. By that power, the earth was created. Under the direction of the Father, Jehovah was the creator. As Michael, Adam did his part. He became the first man. But in spite of the power and glory of creation to that point, the final link in the chain of creation was still missing. All the purposes of the world and all that was in the world would be brought to naught without woman, the keystone in the priesthood arch of creation. When Eve was created, when her body was made by God, Adam exclaimed, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." From the rib of Adam, Eve was created. Interesting to me is the fact that animals fashioned by our Creator, such as dogs and cats, have 13 pairs of ribs, but the human being has one less, with only 12. I presume another bone could have been used, but the rib, coming as it does from the side, seems to denote partnership. The rib signifies neither dominion nor subservience, but a lateral relationship as partners to work and to live side by side. Adam and Eve were joined together in marriage for time and all eternity by the power of that everlasting priesthood. Eve came as a partner to build and to organize the bodies of mortal men. She was designed by deity to co-create and nurture life that the great plan of the Father might achieve fruition. Eve was the mother of all living. She was the first of all women. From our study of Eve, we may learn five fundamental lessons of everlasting importance. One, she labored beside her companion. Two, she and Adam bore the responsibilities of parenthood. 3, she and her partner worshiped the Lord in prayer. 4, she and Adam heeded divine commandments of obedience and sacrifice. 5, she and her husband taught the gospel to their children. From these five fundamental lessons, we can study patterns which apply to our present day circumstances. Let's review them lesson by lesson. 1. She labored beside her companion. Adam held the priesthood. Eve served in matriarchal partnership with the patriarchal priesthood. So today, each wife may join with her husband as a partner, unified in purpose. Scriptures state clearly, "Neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord." They twain shall be one flesh. Marvelously, it takes a man and a woman to make a man or a woman. Without union of the sexes, neither can we exist nor can we become perfect. Ordinary and imperfect people can build each other through their wholeness together. The complete contribution of one partner to the other is essential to exaltation. This is so that the earth might answer the end of its creation. So, labor and love in partnership. Honor your companion. Any sense of competition for place or position is not appropriate for either partner, especially when enlightened by scriptural understanding. 2. As Adam bore the responsibilities of fatherhood, so Eve bore the responsibilities of motherhood. She did not shirk them. So with welcome arms, you may gratefully greet those children God may send through your divine design as co-creator. With your husband, be obedient to the commandment to multiply and replenish the earth as your opportunity, your spiritual guidance, your wisdom, and your health allow. You'll gain joy and rejoicing in your posterity, and that enrichment becomes more beautiful and precious with each passing year. Now, for you childless sisters and those without companions, remember, the eternal timetable of the Lord is much longer than the lonely hours of your preparation or the total of this mortal life. These are only as microseconds when compared to eternity. Your willingness and worthiness are surely known to Him. The spiritual rewards of motherhood are available to all women, nurturing the young, comforting the frightened, protecting the vulnerable, teaching and giving encouragement need not and should not be limited to our own children. Now, sisters, be patient. I know something of the pressures you feel. Your kitchens are too small. Your budgets are too tight. Demands upon you exceed your capacity to help all who cry out to you. Through it all, improve the shining moments. Don't let them pass you by. Take time for spiritual regeneration. I'll share a few lines that have sustained Sister Nelson through the years. She's had 10 children. She needed something to help her in her priorities. These lines reflect her system of priority. Cleaning and scrubbing can wait till tomorrow. For babies grow up, we've learned to our sorrow. So quiet down, cobwebs. Dust, go to sleep. I'm rocking my baby, and babies don't keep. I'm glad Sister Nelson has not tried to be a super mom, but she has been a soothing mom. This she has done simply by being herself. When priorities are in place, one can more patiently tolerate unfinished business. Time flies on wings of lightning. We cannot call it back. And while it passes, remember the precious eternal perspective. As you faithfully endure to the end, you will gain rewards promised by your Father in heaven. They include thrones, kingdoms, principalities, powers, dominions, glory, immortality, and eternal lives. 3. Eve and her partner worshiped the Lord in prayer. As Adam and Eve called upon the name of the Lord, a precedent was established. As each of us follows that pattern of prayer, blessings of wisdom and personal peace will ensue. Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Pray alone in your closet, in the solitude of your own sanctuary. Pour out the longings of your soul. Then pray with and for your husband, your sons and daughters, or your sister or brother, your mother and your father, all in your family. Let the weight of your innocence be felt as you lovingly motivate others to good works. With your mind so attuned to the Lord and His power, your influence for good becomes immeasurably great. And in this world of sin and temptation, the power of prayer will protect you and be a shield for your loved ones. I plead with the women of the church to accept individual responsibility to know and to love the Lord. Communicate with Him. He will impress upon your mind inspiration and personal revelation to give you strength. 4. Eve and her husband heeded divine commandments of obedience and sacrifice. They received commandments that they should worship the Lord their God and should offer an offering unto the Lord. Their direction to worship and sacrifice was obeyed by Adam and Eve. Later they learned that this was a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. When Christ came to the earth, he fulfilled the promised role as he became the ultimate sacrificial lamb. His atonement brought about a greater destiny and a nobler concept for us. We're still commanded to sacrifice, but not by shedding blood of animals. Our highest sense of sacrifice is achieved as we make ourselves more holy or sacred. And this we do by obedience to the commandments of God. Thus, the laws of obedience and sacrifice are indelibly intertwined. Consider the commandments to obey the word of wisdom, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to pay an honest tithe. As we comply with these and other commandments, something wonderful happens to us. We become disciplined. We become disciples. We become more sacred and holy like our Lord. I pay tribute to beloved ladies in my life who have taught sanctifying lessons to me. For a short time, during the first year of our marriage, Sister Nelson maintained two jobs while I was in medical school. Before her paychecks had arrived, we found ourselves owing more than our funds could defray. Have you ever been in that position? We took advantage of an option then available to sell blood at $25 a pint. In an interval between her daytime job as a school teacher and her evening work as a clerk in the music store, we went to the hospital and each sold a pint of blood. As the needle was withdrawn from her arm, she said to me, "Don't forget to pay tithing on my blood money." When her mother found out I was bleeding her daughter between two jobs, I sensed at that time she may not have been too pleased with her new son-in-law. But such obedience was a tremendous lesson to me. Sister Nelson's commitment to tithe became my commitment too. Oh, you righteous daughters. I look at my daughter sitting out here. Never underestimate the influence for good you can exert upon your fathers. I haven't met a father yet who claimed to be perfect. So in his imperfection, stand steadfast in loving patience with your dad. Let me illustrate this point with a personal story. Many years ago, when our daughters were very young, Sister Nelson and I took them fishing. We were having a wonderful time. Everyone was catching fish. Then shades of Saturday night's darkness brought a curfew to our fun. So great was my enthusiasm for our success, I allowed myself to rationalize aloud with the girls. You know, rationalization is one of the real obstacles to obedience. Knowing that the next day was Sunday, I jokingly said, "If we get up tomorrow 2 hours earlier than normal, we could catch some more fish and then quit promptly at our usual wake-up hour." Silence followed. My companion and our daughters all glared at me. Icy stillness was broken when our 7-year-old said, "Daddy, would you eat those fish you caught on Sunday?" And then she added, "Would you ask Heavenly Father to bless fish you caught on the Sabbath?" Needless to say, we did no fishing the next morning. Their commitment to the Sabbath became my commitment too. So it is, dear daughters. As you obey each of God's commandments, your holiness will fortify the foundation of your father's faith. When the two of you are together spiritually, one and one is clearly greater than two. Number five, Adam and Eve taught the gospel to their children. Today, men and women still have that worthy work to do. But before you can teach, you must first learn of your premortal existence, the creation, the fall, the atonement of Christ, and the reason for our mortality. Study the scriptures and internalize them. Teach faith, repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then let your commitment to the mission of the church be evident in all you do. Preaching the gospel, perfecting the saints, redeeming members of your family will cause you to concentrate on covenants and ordinances of eternal significance. As you exercise your agency, teach things that are elevating and useful. Teach the principles of honesty, self-reliance, avoidance of unnecessary debt. You'll build a more stable society by so doing. And remember your example. What you are is more important than what you do or what you say. Now, we can't all do all things. Circumstances, available time, and talents vary widely among us. Your diversities take you to numerous arenas of activity. There, let your presence be felt. Your foes in a sordid society demean the sacredness of women and the sanctity of motherhood. Your world, sickened by unchastity and plagued with sexually transmitted disease, needs your righteous example. For the wrath of God is provoked by governments that sponsor gambling, condone pornography, or legalize abortion. These forces serve to denigrate women now, just as they did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can, you must make a difference. You're all vital to the Lord's team, one team with one purpose. Through your diversity, build strength in unity. Bind yourselves together in all holiness. Anchor yourselves to the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, as Sister Winder mentioned, the funeral service for Sister Camilla Kimball was held earlier today. Magnificent and well-deserved tributes were paid to her. We can learn from her great example of courage. Let us emulate her faith. And likewise, heed this teaching from the Book of Mormon, which gave her such strength and security. Remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if man build, they cannot fall. Beloved sisters, let your lives be committed to your Father in heaven, to his only begotten Son, and to his church restored by them in this latter day. I testify that it is true, and that President Benson is the prophet on earth today. A dispensation of the gospel has been entrusted to our care. Everlasting priesthood principles, laws, and powers depend upon our partnership. I invoke the blessings of Almighty God upon you, that you may be successful in fulfilling your divine destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.